Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Breaking Bread, a daily Pennsylvanian podcast about diversity, equity, and inclusion. My name is Liv Yoon, and I'm your host. Today, we are recording our fifth episode with my good friend, Mario Pies. Our food for the day is Five Guys, which was extremely overpriced.
So overpriced.
And I didn't realize, and I feel really bad, but anyway, okay. Mario and I met during Business Frat Rush over coffee chat. And we really hit it off, and we've been friends ever since. We're now in a club together. I thought he'd be a great person to bring onto this podcast. We've had numerous conversations about identity, and I think he has a real unique perspective on life and being a Penn student. So without further ado, let's get into it. First, I want to say thank you for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
And yeah, we can start with just a basic introduction. So if you want to give your name, year, major, hometown, pronouns, and any relative way that you identify.
Yeah. So first of all, thank you for inviting me onto here. Really appreciate the opportunity. But hi, everyone. My name is Mario Pais. I am a junior in Warden studying diversity, equity, and inclusion and decision processes. I'm originally from Laredo, Texas, which is a U.S.-Mexico border city, so like super, super south Texas, like 2 hours south of San Antonio. If I drove like 5 minutes from my house, I'd be in Mexico. I always like went across and like got my braces there or just like went for like some snacks and shit. So, you know, in terms of the way I would like to identify myself as, I'm a first-generation low-income student. I am Mexican-American. I am bisexual. And I'm human, I guess. I don't know. Like, what else are they?
That's awesome. Okay. In what ways do you think your identities impact your academic and social experiences at Penn?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very loaded question because, like, they affect me, like, literally in, like, every, like, day-to-day basis. I mean, firstly, just cover, like, academic. I came from a low-income background, as I mentioned, and my hometown also was really, really low income, and we had a really poor educational system. So, like, I had, like, AP classes and stuff, but I remember, like, for example, my AP computer science A teacher was our soccer coach. Mm-hmm. My AP, like, world geo teacher was our cheerleading coach and, like, had no, like, background or, like, experience and qualifications to, like, actually be teaching AP classes. So I remember I walked into the first day of AP computer science A, and my teacher, he was like, I know it's my first time teaching, but I watched a lot of YouTube videos this summer, and I feel really prepared to teach you guys everything there is to know about AP Computer Science A, and I immediately knew that I was screwed, but it is what it is. So as a result, like, I worked hard and stuff, but definitely felt everything when it came to Penn, when it came to, like, Penn face, imposter syndrome, all those buzzwords, just because I came in and I immediately knew I was, like, kind of, like, bottom of the barrel, just because everyone came from, like, a much higher, like, privilege and higher income background and, like, went to, like, these super, like, top-tier high schools that I didn't even know, like, existed and, like, and always received, like, personal tutoring services and just came from, like, much, much better backgrounds than I did. And as a result, I came in feeling really intimidated. But I've made it to my third year somehow. Didn't drop out. I've somehow been passing my classes. GPA doesn't look great, but a degree is a degree, and that's what matters. But I think that when it comes to academic stuff, my Figley background is what's impacted the most by it, especially with, like, the lack of resources as well. They took funding away from a Penn Cap and the Penn First Plus office that was providing a lot of academic resources for Figley students on campus, and I've felt personally impacted by that, and also just the fact they don't get a lot of funding in general. So that's been really difficult. In terms of my Hispanic identity, like I mentioned, I came from South Texas, a U.S.-Mexico border city, and that hometown is, like, 99.98% Hispanic people. So I came here and immediately only knew, like, one or two other Hispanic people, like, right when I stepped onto campus. That was crazy.
Let alone anyone from your town.
Oh, definitely not, yeah.
Has anyone from where you're from, like, come to Penn or, like, Penn before?
So whenever I came to Penn, I knew of one upperclassman, okay. But she came from our, like, private school in our hometown, where, like, the people that are much more rich in my hometown go to. And I did fortunately have one other person from a rival high school actually come here to Penn with me. And we've kind of been both going through the Figley Hispanic experience at Penn. So it's been great to have her here as well. Shout out Joanna. Really appreciate her. We always just, like, complain about our struggles on a day-to-day basis. But yeah, immediately came in, like, feeling very marginalized. I remember, like, my first weekend here during the pre-freshman program for Figley students, I was in an elevator with one of the other students, and I was just, like, talking normally, or at least what I thought was normally. And she's like from a European background. She was like, oh my gosh, you are such a loud Mexican. And yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. So, I mean, like, I'm pretty sure people are familiar with the stereotype that like Mexicans are much more like eccentric, extroverted, loud, obnoxious and stuff. So I immediately like found out what that stereotype was because like I grew up like not even knowing that. So felt marginalized immediately. And that definitely impacted me like greatly when it came to academics and social stuff. But also feel free to ask any other questions you want to ask.
Okay, wow. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
How do you feel like, given your background, you fit in with other students, if at all, and how do you feel different?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I am super unique in literally, like, every aspect of my life. I know we had this conversation very recently where mm-hmm. I feel like in all the different communities I'm a part of, whether it be, like, Figley, whether it be Hispanic, Warden, or, like, the queer community, I feel like I'm never enough, per se. So, like, with the Figley community, I think that's one that I'm probably like most welcomed by because it's never questioned like, oh, like how Figley are you, etc. Because like I think people can tell I'm poor. so like people are accept me with there. But when it comes to, like Hispanics, like I grew up with my mom who is was born in Laredo, my hometown, but then was raised in Canada. And as a result, like mostly knew English. She like still knows Spanish but doesn't speak it predominantly, and because I have divorced parents, I live with my mom, and as a result I never grew up learning Spanish. So I was always made fun of in high school and stuff, but I didn't think that would happen here because I was like, oh, I'm sure there's other people that are like me. No, I came in immediately, and in the Hispanic community I felt like marginalized immediately due to the fact that I didn't know Spanish. Also there's like the stereotypes with like Warden, like snakes and stuff. And I remember I walked into La Casa Latina, the Cultural Resource Center here on Penn's campus, at the Arch House. And I remember I walked into there and there was this upperclassman, and it's like this is like a core memory, maybe a bad one, where I walked in and I was just like introducing myself to the people there. I was like stepping out of my comfort zone, and they go, oh, like what's your major? And I'm like, oh, I don't know, but I'm in Warden. And they go, oh. And they're like, oh, you're in Warden. And I immediately like started like only talking to the other people around me, and like were like not talking to me and like excluding me because I was in Warden. And like I literally like, didn't even say anything else just besides the fact that I'm in Warden, and they immediately excluded me despite the fact that like we're already huge minorities on campus, and like you would assume that we want to be inclusive, but like the Hispanic community as well is also very exclusive and like very cliquey. And like I immediately felt outcasted by that. So like throughout my like my freshman and like first half of my sophomore year, did not hang out with many Hispanics because like I immediately felt outcasted by them because I didn't speak Spanish and because I was in Warden. So didn't fit in there. And then we move on to like academics of Warden. Like I mentioned, I'm Figley. So like automatically, like I'm in these classes with like predominantly people that are come from higher privileged backgrounds or just aren't like minority POCs as well. And as a result, like I feel very much like alone because I'm like the only Hispanic person in the class. And they're talking about like all their like backgrounds and like the private schools they've been to. I remember I went to this like professor student lunch at like, I think it's called K-Pod, something like that. I don't know. I don't really go to restaurants around here. And I went, and it was me, our professor, who was an East Asian woman, and all white people. And the conversation was literally just about the private schools that they went to in high school. And like, oh my gosh, like we would go on all these trips and like on my private school and blah, 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 blah. And they were talking about like their conversation topic was also, oh, like what restaurants do you guys like to go to in like Philly? And they were naming like all these expensive restaurants that I literally forgot because I don't go to them. But if you think of like any like top tier 5-star restaurant in Philly, they were name dropping those. And I was like, I really like the food trucks along campus that are like really cheap. And they're like, oh, that's so great. And then when they're talking about the private school, I think they immediately assumed that like I was like poor or something because they didn't even ask me like about my like previous school life or anything. Like they just like saw me and were like, oh yeah, like completely excluded me from conversations. So like Warden, don't fit in either. And in the queer community, like I'm very new to it per se. Like in my hometown, like it's largely Hispanic, and in the Hispanic like culture, like it's very looked down upon if you're like queer. And as a result, like I kind of like shut that side off of myself for a while. And I've been learning to like kind of like accept myself more while being here at Penn and being more open to my identity. But I don't tell like a lot of people, but I'm trying this like since I think sophomore year, I've been trying to like be more open about it. And if people ask, and I'm like, yeah, I'm bi, it is what it is. But like even then, because I'm not like completely gay, as a result, like I don't feel like I super belong in the queer community, or if I'm not dating a guy, then like as a result, like, oh, he's not that queer. So like I still don't even feel accepted there. So it's like I'm digging these like little pockets into each community for myself because they themselves aren't accepting me. And like I'm trying to identify with these different communities and these different identities, but they themselves are just not accepting me into it. And I just kind of have to like carve my own path here at Penn and like hope for the best. And I don't know, that's kind of just been my experience with like my different identities and like belonging to each community per se.
Yeah, no, I think we had that conversation the other day about this, and it's not exactly the same as yours, but I am a bi Asian woman and I can definitely relate to certain
that's the fry
being bitten. I think I can definitely agree with feeling like you really have to carve your own space when you have so many different nuanced identities that maybe, yes, you can find other people that are Asian, you can find other people that are queer, but it's hard to find both of that, and then there's more and more. I also agree with having almost like a bone to pick with some of these affinity communities on campus. Yeah. I think I spoke about this in one of my previous episodes, but I think they serve a great purpose for people that do fit the mold, but for people who don't fit the mold, it almost just feels worse, and it's mm-hmm. counterproductive in my opinion. I think there are a lot of great, you know, organizations and affinity groups out there. The first things that come to mind just as an Asian person is like JSA, CSA, KSA, but I think it can almost be harmful for people who don't feel like they fit the mold. I also don't speak Korean, so it's been hard to feel like I fit in with the Korean community here, as well as just the Asian community in general. And I just find that most of my friends just happen to be people from really diverse backgrounds, and I choose not to really hang out with people that are necessarily like me or look mm-hmm. like me. Yeah, I think it's when you have such different important parts of your identity, like being a POC, being queer, being FGLI, mm-hmm. It's hard to feel like you completely belong somewhere.
Yeah, can take, like, I mean, a food break. Yeah, let's take a little food break. We can do a little ASMR with the fries.
What did you order?
I ordered the little fries because I was trying to save money. Apparently, it's not possible to Five Guys. And I got a Reese's Cup milkshake. Okay. It's my first Five Guys milkshake I've had probably in like since like middle school or something.
And what are your reflections so far?
I really love this milkshake. I've been sipping on it gradually throughout the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I really like it. And now I see the hype with the Five Guys milkshakes in a little bit. I'm probably going to take off the top and start dipping the fries in it. So looking forward to that. And then we can also introduce my burger. So I got a little bacon burger. I got some grilled onions, lettuce, obviously bacon and like the beef, and then ketchup and barbecue sauce. Why y'all laughing?
For context, they gave us, you know how in Five Guys they give you like double the fries that you order. So there's just like a fat bucket of fries sitting left over.
It's not even like a bucket. It's the brown bag that they put our food in. And when I opened the bag after they gave it to me, I just saw like a layer of fries. So after taking out all my food, there's just a bunch of fries left in the brown bag. And it's sitting next to Liv just for our own enjoyment after we're done with our current basket of fries.
How do you celebrate and express your cultural identity here? Are there specific events, clubs, or activities that have been really significant for you in this?
Yeah, that was definitely something I really like struggled with when I got here, because like I mentioned, I'm from like an all Hispanic hometown, and like on a day-to-day basis I was like celebrating my culture whether I like realized it or not, and like I really wish I had appreciated that more when I was living there in Texas. But coming here to Penn, as a result of being like immediately like excluded and marginalized from most communities, I was not in touch with like my Hispanic identity in like the slightest during my first year. I was more in line with like my Figley identity because I felt like that was a more inclusive community. So I was part of organizations such as like STEP with Warden and like PenCap and Penn First Plus. I was like a peer mentor for Figley students and underrepresented communities. But it wasn't until the end of my sophomore year, or like the second half of my sophomore year, that I really started to try more to embrace my culture. So I joined Onda Latina, which is our Latinx styles dance troupe on campus. So we dance like salsa, bachata, reggaeton, merengue, and like a lot more. And it was honestly like really a great experience being able to like join so late into my Penn career. Like that was my fourth semester at Penn, and I would honestly were like worried that they weren't going to accept me just because like I'm already like a second semester sophomore, and even if I do get onto the team, that they won't like accept me into the community. But I honestly felt really welcomed right away, and it was really nice to be able to touch back with my culture and also hang out with people from my identity, because mm-hmm. as much as I try to have like a diverse set of people in my life, I do miss having like a lot of Hispanic people around me just to like stay more in tune with my culture and my identity. So being in UNDA, and like it was like a huge time commitment. I'm mm-hmm. currently on a semester off, but the past year I was like fully committed, and even like not being in like that many dances, I had so much practice every week. I had hella practices all the time. We'll say that. I had hella practices all the time. Like it was like a full on job. But honestly, it was great because like I got to spend like an hour or two like each day being able to hang out with people from my identity, dancing like Latinx styles to music, and like also performing for a show. I also have like no dancing experience at all. Mm-hmm. And that was like scary to be able to like perform for my first show ever. I also don't know why they accepted me on the team. I think I was a personality ad. I'm really appreciative of that. Thank you, Onda Latina, for giving me a chance. Cause that first semester, if y'all watch those performance videos of me and them, look away. That was crazy. Like because I'm not even like that much better now. But even like in my second semester, I went back and watched the videos before like our show from last semester, and I was like, wow, I was horrible. Like, this is really bad. Like, why did they let me on stage? Some of them, they put me in the front too. Like, that was crazy. Like, I was so stiff. But anyways, it was really great to be able to like reconnect with my identity through Onda Latina. I would definitely say that's like my biggest avenue ever since this like past year, just because like I've been able to hang out with people from Hispanic identity. And I think just like being around them makes me feel a lot more happier, and like I like was finally being included in like the Hispanic community here at Penn. Onda Latina in itself is like slightly toxic, but as is most communities in like some way or another, especially when it comes to the Hispanics, because the stereotype is sometimes true. We are very toxic sometimes. And like we all have loud personalities. So as a result, they collide. It is what it is. Yeah. But we all love each other at the end of the day. But yeah, I am taking a semester off just because like I like work like 20 hours a week, and I like am still taking max credits because I'm trying to graduate as early as possible. So I thought that taking a semester off from home, that would be great for me, so I can have more time to myself and also just like not do bad in my courses, because while like most of the people are like naturally really smart, I need a lot of time to study. So I'm hoping it'll be a lot better this semester. But yeah, I would say Onda Latina has definitely been like my avenue to be able to kind of branch out with my culture. And like Casa Latina's little events that they have, mm-hmm. love them. They like always have like free like Latinx foods all the time. Ugh. They're so good.
Yeah. I think that's great that you're able to find like little pieces of home here. That's something that I've been trying to do more this semester mm-hmm. in other ways. I think Penn can be, it's really different, I think, from most people's back. Well, it can be different from a lot of people's backgrounds here. And I think it's really important to have those little pieces of yourself and pieces of your home at school. But I would say my only critique of that is that it sucks to be able to have to do that.
Yeah.
It sucks that you have to actively seek out, you know, communities and places that you can feel accepted and at home with. I think that's really hard, and I do think that's a pretty common experience for some Penn people in marginalized communities.
Yeah. I really envy the people that just like show up on campus and they are like immediately welcomed like one way or another. Whether it be like in these like underrepresented communities being fully accepted, but I'm like mostly envious of people that just step on a campus and like aren't like underprivileged and like are in the majority and like don't ever feel like kind of out of place at Penn. I often like look back and wonder like if I was born a different like racial identity, or if I was like born in like in a higher privileged family, like what my experience at Penn would be like. I would like bet it's probably like a million times better. But I do think that going through what like I go through and what like you go through as well, and what people like from our identities go through, does give us like the drive to continue to succeed and make our kids have a better place whenever they go to college and live their life and stuff. At least that's my personal drive. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
No, I absolutely get that. And I feel that way too. I think we spoke about this, but I do believe that Penn is very much designed and built for a certain person to thrive. Mm-hmm. I think it's a weird mishmash of a lot of these students that come from feeder schools.
Yeah.
And maybe they've known that they were going to go to Penn for a very long time, and there were just less barriers to entry. And then there's also the completely other side where, you know, there are people that work their asses off to be here. Not that, you know, other people didn't. But it's a very weird dichotomy, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And it makes for really weird social dynamics.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do strongly believe that this place is, it's really designed for a certain person to thrive. And that doesn't mean that other people can't thrive and have access to those resources. But I think depending on how you identify, where you're from, your socioeconomic position, that can really determine your experience at the school. And I think it's pretty evident, even if you're just walking down Locust.
Or if you like go on TikTok and search up Penn videos, you'll see like very two different types of Penn videos on there where... Actually, I won't talk about it more, but yeah, I'm sure people can research on them themselves. Yeah. So
what advice, if there was an incoming student at Penn who shared your identity or shared many aspects of your identity, mm-hmm. what advice would you give to them?
Drop out. No, I'm kidding. don't do that. In terms of not dropping out and staying here at Penn, I definitely would just like... keep an open mind and also just like remember what you came here for. Mm-hmm. I like kind of mentioned it like at the end of like my last answer, but I personally like came in knowing that as hard as it is going to be for me, I came here with like one goal in mind, and that's to like set up my future and financially support my family. Like I mentioned, my like parents are divorced and I like haven't had a great father figure in my life, and neither have my younger siblings. So my role has always been to be like kind of the father figure and like the role model. So like I constantly have that in the back of my mind on like a day-to-day basis where I'm just like, oh, I want my younger siblings, Pablito, Alessandra, and Alexa, to look up to me one way or another and to like be proud of what I'm doing and like also feel motivated to do the same thing. And that's like my personal drive on a day-to-day basis. And any like recommendation I have for someone like coming in with my similar background is to remember that, and also remember that despite the fact that you may not be accepted into every community, it's not a bad thing to like be carving in your own path. Mm-hmm. And also like using these stuff as like motivation to like continue to thrive and like also find your place. Like I feel like I have a million different homes here on campus, and while like I may not be a permanent member of each home, it's nice to know that there's always some place where I can fit in some way or another. And I'm really appreciative of that. And I think just like always trying new things, like despite the fact that, well, like if they're coming from my background, like you don't have as much money as everyone else, like there's always opportunities for you to be doing stuff. Like, mm-hmm. despite the fact that I'm poor as fuck, I've been to like Ireland and England. I've been to Vietnam. I went to Germany last semester. And like, if I did that on my own accord, I probably would have been bankrupt by the time I landed in Vietnam, or maybe I got on like the flight or something to these places. But I was able to do it with like on Penn's dime. There's always opportunities like that. So there's always opportunities for you to like go out of the mold that you were like previously given and to like have these like great opportunities to like thrive while here at Penn. And while you may thrive under a different limelight and different way than other people who come from a higher privilege, there's always something for you to do and something for you to have fun with. And while I may sound like pessimistic with like me saying I've been struggling with this, like I definitely feel like I've still thrived here at Penn, been a part of like so many different like communities and like clubs, extracurriculars, and just like made so many different friends and gone through so many opportunities like the ones I've mentioned. And I also have like a great like internship lined up and everything, and that's because like I worked my ass off and I like never like stopped working hard to like get what I wanted and to like continue to like move forward and like push towards what I was like striving for. And I know that people coming in can do the exact same thing as long as you set their mind to it and not let all these like negative things influence it, and just continue to find like the glass half full per se.
Yeah, I think that's awesome advice. Do you think being like, you mentioned you were a peer mentor mm-hmm. for other Figley students, do you think that in some ways has felt like rewarding to you or given you the ability to give advice to incoming students like you?
Oh yeah, I love being a mentor, y'all. Mm-hmm. I probably have like 200 kids on campus, like oh. people I actively are like, oh, that's my kid, just because like I love giving advice whether they like fit my exact identity or not. Like, I feel like there's always, like, some piece of advice I can give, because I feel like I've gone through, like, literally almost anything someone could possibly go through while here at Penn. And as a result, like, I always have my own two cents to put into things. And, mm-hmm. like, I've been a peer mentor for the pre-freshman program for Figley students. I've been a peer mentor for the STEP program for Warden. I'm a cohort leader for, like, incoming Warden freshmen. And, like, that cohort of, like, 60 students, like, they're not all from my background. In fact, like, I probably only have like one Hispanic kid or maybe like two at max. Like every time I'm like, I get a new cohort in, but even the people that like don't match my background or like completely different from me, like there's always something I can give them like some sorts of advice towards, whether it be like towards like professional stuff or clubs or like social life. Like I've had like some like the whitest frat boy-esque people come up and ask me for advice on Greek life. And I'm like, you're literally talking to the worst possible person, but I actually do have something to say. And like they somehow like get something away from me and they always like implement it one way or another. And it's really great to be able to give back, just because whenever I came onto campus, I feel like that was a key thing that kept me going, is I immediately like had peer mentors because I did the pre-freshman program and I was a mentee. And like I've had people such as like Sarah Kim from the club that me and Liver and Reach. Sarah Kim has been like my mother since day one, amongst like a million other people. But Sarah Kim has been like one of the biggest, where she immediately like took me in as her kid. She like actively was like, you're my child. And I'm like, I am your child. And she like did everything in her power to like help me. And like still to this day is giving me advice. And like I am now older than she was whenever she met me. She's about to graduate. I'm going to graduate next semester. And I honestly like, would not have made it where I'm at today without my mentors. So whenever I look back on that, I always think of the fact that like I want to do the exact same thing and ensure that like I'm giving back to my communities one way or another. And I really love doing that through like these mentorship things and being able to like just help people in their journeys, whether or not it may be the exact same journey or not as mine.
So. Yeah, that's awesome. I didn't know Sarah did that for you. That's awesome. Okay, my final question. Okay. What do you think Penn can do better to support you and people with similar background? I'm sure there's probably a long list of this. But yeah, I guess in general, what would you like to see in the future from Penn?
More financial aid. But like a million other things. I think just like being more active and creating spaces where people can feel included. Like I was mentioning, like La Casa Latina is still in the basement of Arch. And should not be a basement. Like they should have much bigger spaces for people to celebrate their identities, because like as much as like it feels like there's no Hispanics on campus, if you put all the Hispanics into one room, they don't fit into La Casa Latina, and like that's sad. It's the same thing with Maku and Patch. They generally like need bigger spaces, and like I think the biggest thing for Penn is to put more funding towards like the supporting like minority and underrepresented communities and also FICLE communities. Like I mentioned like earlier, they took away funding from PenCap and P1P for like academic resources for their students. And like there's a huge FICLE population at Penn, and I'm like really happy that that exists, but they also have a huge lack of resources. I also saw, I think the DP actually might have posted on Instagram, I saw this earlier today, that like there's an alum suing Warden or Penn because they were misusing the donations that they were having that were supposed to go to underrepresented business students. And like that's really up, you know, like these are people that are already struggling enough as it is. And like I can speak as like someone who's an underprivileged student who probably would have received that funding. And like, it's crazy to know like that is just being like taken away from me right under my nose and could be helping me so much, and like not having to go through like working like as many long hours as I have to like to support myself on a day-to-day basis. And I think it's just like Penn needs to do better in terms of like actually using its donations for like good causes rather than just like paying themselves or like building a fancy new building. Like they need to get through like these students through school and ensure that they like don't have to live a hard life while they're here at Penn and be able to look back with good experience, because they're the ones that will provide funding for them to go back into those communities. Like I personally want to immediately like give funding back to Penn and like people that came from my background as soon as I graduate and I get that money. But I don't know if other people would have the same thing. And like I just personally like am not holding against Penn that much, but I'm also just having like some faith that they'll use the funding correctly. But after seeing that, like I'm honestly very hesitant to even give that, because like what if I find out that they're not using the funds the way I am trying to like get it to be used? And I'm sure a lot of people are also going to be like straying away from like donating to Penn as a result. So I think it's the big thing is like Penn has a lot of money and they'd be doing big things with it, like especially for these underrepresented communities that they like so-called like love to like represent and like appreciate. Like they have this like new DEI concentration that I am, but it's just a buzzword to them. Like I'm like on the Warden Equity, Diversity and Inclusion group, WEDIG, where we like work towards like bettering DEI efforts in Warden. And like it is rough for us because like DEI is just a buzzword for them so that they can say like they are supporting like minorities and underrepresented communities, but they don't actually do it. So they just would be better with like using their fundings and also like actually caring instead of just pretending to care.
Yeah. I mean, from my experience, trying to work on DEI in a system that doesn't want to be fixed is exhausting.
Yeah.
It's exhausting. My senior year of high school, I was doing that with my with the administration in my high school, and I worked on that more than I worked on my college apps, and I made it nowhere. There was no progress. If a system doesn't want to be fixed, it won't be fixed. And I think that's one of the most frustrating things, because as such a top institution, Penn really sells itself as an institution that really values DEI, but it's really disheartening, I think, to see it not really come into fruition in practice. On that note,
on a great note to end.
I wanted to say thank you guys for listening, and thank you so much, Mauro, for giving us some great insight and coming on today, and for eating Five Guys with me. Stay tuned for the next episode. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.